Deep meditation does not require belief, it just requires a focus on what is, on the reality of now, and this way we also can find stillness, even as atheists. It is simply narrow-minded propaganda that preaches atheists will go to hell because they don't believe in God. Nothing could be further from the truth, and many atheists are in a better position to reach enlightenment than many devout followers of religious beliefs. Buddha himself did not believe in God, and yet he is the figurehead of one of the most enlightened ways of living on the planet. Fanatical subscribers to religious belief will no doubt be quick to condemn such a liberal stance, but they will have to remember that there is not a single person, life form or atom that is not intimately connected to God or core consciousness, whether they may believe in it or not. Getting into deeper reflections, we will find that consciousness itself will give us the answers, especially if we allow our heart to participate in our focus and inquiry. Atheism does not, by default, exclude the possibility of an afterlife, simply because our current science has not found proof one way or the other, so why not remain open and dynamic to the possibilities of our infinity? In the end, we will discover that, whatever our beliefs, actual first-hand experience will deliver the final proof for continuous existence, and we will no longer have to rely on the testimonies of others or books. Nothing is more powerful in delivering proof than first-hand experience. We will have to decide for ourselves which teachers, if any, to enlist and how to open the inner channels to the seat of consciousness. The simple rule to be guided by is to avoid anything that cuts us off from the free flow of love energy, such as narcissism, dogma, selfishness, fanaticism, hatred, bigotry, intolerance and all the negative feelings related to our own self-importance, which will restrict the free flow of creative energy. All the energy we set in motion and which enriches the world without diminishing others is energy stacked in our favor. By focusing on the things in life that truly matter, embracing reality rather than denying or running away from it, and by nurturing our authentic self, fertilized by the generosity of the heart, we create the best conditions not only for the afterlife, but for our current life as well, because life is a continuum. Transformation, the power of meditation. I feel there is little doubt that meditation is our greatest hope, not only for transforming our state of mind into an attitude of blissful living, but for our society as well, and thereby helping to cure our economic, political, educational, sociological and environmental ills. Why is that? We already have statistical data to cement this statement, but the reason for this transformative effect lies in the process that happens when the object of attention is no longer divorced from the attention giver, when we no longer see ourselves as separate from the outside world. By focusing awareness on the source of awareness, we create a natural connection to the core of our being, which is what gives life to everything else around us. It is here, at the core, that all source material for life itself is generated. How will meditation shape the quality of our afterlife? The negative publicity we sometimes hear about meditation is almost always connected to the release of underlying trauma into the open, which may have been festering away for years in our subconsciousness, frequently referred to as the dark night of the soul. This can also happen as a result of prayer. This rising to the surface should itself be regarded as a positive. What is negative is our inability to look at it dispassionately, resisting necessary changes or not seeking support in dealing efficiently with our shadows, via counseling or education. Meditation can be the pipe that releases the built-up of pressure of stress into the open, while at the same time supplying our daily life with energy and well-being. We can regulate the stress release, if necessary, by adjusting the flow through the pipe and reducing the practice accordingly until we are balanced, and by giving ourselves the space and the time to deal with personal issues that may have come to light. Counseling can also be considered as a powerful way of dealing with deep-seated problems. Problems, if not dealt with in this present physical life, will determine the quality of our afterlife. As in our afterlife, our unconscious will manifest our external environment. If we deal with our shadow now, a term Jung used to refer to our unconscious side with its unresolved inner conflicts, We will sail over into non-physical reality in the most enjoyable and life-enhancing experience. Instead of having to struggle and confront our shadows, we will explore our potential, realize our dreams and our life's secret ambitions. We can embark now on our journey to our glorious future, without becoming victims of our shadows. The most important aspect of meditation is not to see it as a form of entertainment or just to have experiences. Far from it. Good meditation is the opposite of having experiences. It is finding the resting point within us and spending as much time as possible in the stillness of it. Ordinary people can transform their lives with such practice. After years of meditation, I finally reached a tipping point where I began to experience my life as a continuous present rooted in the blissful stillness of the moment, mostly remaining unaffected by any turmoil surrounding me. This tipping point was preceded by many awakenings to my authentic self, until finally the point of no return was reached. It was as if a frosted glass cage had been shattered and had set me free and then offered a clear vision of the world around me for the first time. There was no way the billions of glass pieces could be put back together again, and I knew I was liberated from my restrictions for good. Because it happened to me, I know it can happen to anybody who focuses their attention, no magic or special talent is involved, just sustained meditation. Everybody carries the blueprint and the genetic program to realize their potential already. Released from skewed attitudes and self-delusions, we begin to operate from the stillness center of sanity, rather than being dominated and flung around by tidal waves of emotions and external events. Here is a short summary of what life might look like once released from your cage. Attention is focused on the reality of the present moment rather than being disconnected by prejudged interpretation of reality. There is an enhanced sense and appreciation of reality and the pertinent factors underpinning it, which are often sensed intuitively, leading to increased discriminatory powers. There is a persistent feeling of being home, because we feel connected regardless of where we are in the world, which provides us with confidence and a sense of security. We are free to experience enhanced aesthetic appreciation, which can prompt spontaneous peak experiences in everyday life. We will have an enhanced empathy with other people and a non-judgmental attitude. Increased creativity and joy in engagements will benefit others. There can be an awareness of a higher aspect of consciousness that asserts a guiding influence, and we may feel like a benevolent presence. Some people report it as being connected to God, the higher self, a guide, a guardian angel, or simply the presence of a universal consciousness which they can feel all around. There is no longer a sense of loneliness, even when alone. Fear of death has ceased, without affecting our instinct for survival. We find it easier to deal with conflicts in a detached manner and employ enhanced modes of dealing with them. Our dreams become more coherent and often lucid. We get an increased sense of our own sovereignty and freedom from attachments. A feeling of liberation and being in charge of our life and destiny is experienced. We become indifferent towards roles in society, such as status, acclaim, fame, position and wealth, etc. We become more authentic, accessible, benevolent, empathic, nurturing a sense of humor, tolerant, perceptive and wise. We will experience purposeful and rewarding relationships without attachments or dependency. The perception that every moment is new arises. Reality is not seen as repetition, even though apparently repetitive events occur. We have no interest in psychic abilities, although they may arise. We have no interest in following a spiritual path, because every moment is complete and spiritual in its core sense. Dream life is regarded as being as important as waking life, and vice versa. Self-importance is replaced by a sense of natural humility and being content with the ordinary and modest things in life. We no longer see the world as a hostile place, but one free of enemies. We become impartial, detached, peaceful, objective. An ability to adapt and experience any viewpoint from the viewer's perspective is developed. We will not consider ourselves as enlightened or special in any way. We can clearly see that when stillness is manifested in our everyday life, achieved through the daily practice of meditation, our lives will be transformed here, now, and there is simply no question about how our afterlife will be played out in the highest of states, the astral or even higher heavens. We do not need to concern ourselves with having experiences. These simply materialize as a natural byproduct of meditation when they are right for us and serve us. They are not a goal in themselves. We should not practice meditation with an eye on having experiences or manifesting OBs. We are better off practicing OB techniques for that. Using meditation for that would just compromise the free flow of creative energy needed to take us close to our source when we die. We don't even have to concern ourselves about entering states of samadhi. We just need to focus our awareness and let nature take its course. Meditation is not about achieving, but simply about being. This is the distinguishing factor from our habitual mindset, where we strive for entertainment, filling in time or aiming for a certain goal. Meditation is the opposite. We simply rest in the acceptance of what is, by focusing on the object of our meditation, which can be a mantra, a point of light inside our head, our breath, or awareness itself. It can be the world surrounding us. It does not matter. Giving preference to the object of our attention instead of to our thinking will gradually train our brain to submit to the natural flow of love energy. We do not have to concern ourselves with entering higher states once our inner channels are cleared. Nature will take us to our natural place. With practice, we will be drawn quite naturally into an inner awareness of no thought, of stillness or oneness. Although everything I have reported in this book is the result of meditation practice, it is not the inevitable result. I have friends who have meditated for as long as I have who have never had any such experiences. We react individually to the fine-tuning of our energy bodies and nature provides what is most suited to us as individuals. If we seek to have out-of-body experiences and see for ourselves what the great reality has to offer, we are better off developing our skills in lucid dreaming and pursuing the techniques mentioned at the end of the book. Although other people who have been lifelong meditators report different extrasensory abilities such as clairvoyance or healing abilities, out-of-body experiences and other phenomena. I personally support out-of-body practice because it can develop into a path in itself to lead to the same outcome. Having reached an out-of-body state, it can also be used for effective meditation. Lucid dreams can be used in the same way. Many practitioners who have followed this advice and used the power mantra during their OB have experienced entering more beautiful levels or even reported an expansion of consciousness by transcending into higher states. This can help to gain new insights and inspiration, thereby furthering personal development. We can also attract teachers on the non-physical levels of reality who will train us and provide assistance, as I have reported in my previous book. Hundreds of books have been written about meditation and it is up to the individual to find a technique they can most closely relate to. Very often it is a matter of practice and not expecting results overnight, maybe not even over months. Often the things that happen are so subtle that we believe nothing seems to be happening at all, even after years. But the results are often not what one would expect. Expectations are informed by what we know, meditation often delivers what we don't know. Keeping up the practice of meditation, without expectation, will open the connection and effect subtle changes that are guaranteed to put us on a higher level of consciousness in this life and, as a consequence, in our afterlife. The power of service. Many a rich person, especially if their wealth was acquired via the sacrifices, exploitation and suffering of others, can be found living in utter squalor on the lower light and life-deprived regions of the astral levels. Others, having acted selfishly at great cost to their fellow men, such as individuals involved in crimes, frequently endure a feedback loop of regret when they experience firsthand the consequences of their actions in their afterlife state. The problem is that such action cannot be undone and forgiveness is not always forthcoming. When confronted with the entanglement of such action, However, they may strive to make amends by entering a path of service and gradually work their way out of their predicament. We also have to bear in mind that we are a tapestry composed of thousands of patches representing individual lives, each one needed as a part to complete the whole, good bits and bad bits, where the bad bits may just be the essential ingredients to complete the good bits. The crimes we commit and the effects we reap as a result may just be the essential additives for us to become whole and render us compassionate. We should not judge ourselves or others by the effect created within a single lifetime. Consciousness has a well-laid-out blueprint of what is required to effect completion and perfection. On the human level, we judge, condemn and punish immoral action, but on the level of the highest consciousness we do not, we simply integrate it as a simple element of a much greater pattern. We live in a world of activity and it doesn't matter whether we are alive or dead. We can also rely on the fact that we are not isolated and cut off from the universe, even though it might appear so. All our actions result in an outcome and affect the energy surrounding us, whether it is physical action, words or thoughts. We have already seen that, on the finer strata of experience, thoughts and feelings have an effect. Although we may not perceive this in our physical sense awareness, they still shape our environment and surroundings on the subtle levels where there is no physical body. So our thoughts, feelings and activity can be constructive or destructive, positive or negative, altruistic or selfish. On the one hand it enriches, on the other it diminishes us and others. One way of looking at non-physical reality is by regarding it as a kind of mirror that reflects back all the content of our thoughts, feelings and actions, where they appear exactly as they have affected others. Until we are confronted with our mirror, we may never be aware how even the most innocent act had an effect on others, positively as well as negatively. We will find all our actions manifested in our non-physical environment once the protective capsule of our physical body has been exited for good. We can determine, by our external environment, whether we have served or drained the world we have lived in. It is the nature of non-physical reality that nothing can remain hidden, and who we were and who we are will be clear for all the world to see. We cannot hide it or hide from it. Our actions, thoughts and feelings will render our looks beautiful or ugly. If we lived our life at great cost to others, the diminishing effects will show in our appearance. If we served, enriched and empowered others, it too will show and manifest in a positive way. While alive, the capsule of our physical nervous system acts like a shield to block out the subtle movements of energy that we put out, and we often only see what we want to see. When the shields are gone at death, we are suddenly confronted with all our output. We can't avoid it. Everything we see will be a clear mirror of what we are. We will not only see it, but will feel it intimately too. If we engendered joy in others and enhanced their lives, we will now become the beneficiaries of our own good energies released into the world and our environment will be bright and cheerful, our appearance attractive. If we have caused pain and suffering, we will feel the two, more acutely than we would want, so much so that we feel every bit of the pain exactly as our victim felt it. So what is to be done? How can we redeem ourselves for what we have put out? How do we create balance and safeguard our future? How do we repay our debt without becoming victims of our own actions? There are several ways. The obvious one is finding our victim's forgiveness. The other way is to devote our lives to the benefit and service of others, and we can do that right where we are now by fostering an attitude of giving, nurturing and loving. We can disentangle ourselves from our past actions by clearing our inner channels and allowing the core energy of our being to enter our lives. It is easy to get trapped in a feedback loop. When recognizing that the effect of our past action has affected many lives and cannot be undone and has left a lasting mark on the people affected, we can disentangle ourselves by altruistic acts of love, service and caregiving, but it has to be fully realized by the inner heart. Our core consciousness loves the sinners equally as the saint. By opening ourselves to the core consciousness, we are beginning to realize our true source and will find what Christianity hailed as forgiveness. Of course, the most powerful way to get out of a lower mind and lower environment condition is via spontaneous awakening, but this is not the most common route. Normally it is a laborious path of dealing with personal entanglements step by step and one by one. People who have been in therapy will know how much time can be spent, session after session, until realization or an epiphany sets in, and that is with the assistance of a professional counselor. By focusing on the inner heart energy, we can quicken the process by largely circumnavigating the negative mind with its laborious pondering, justifications, debates and blockages it puts in our way. The compassionate heart connects us directly to our soul energy and opens the channels for transformation. The other way is by entering the singularity of our consciousness, which is most likely to be happening in stages. The best way is by providing a loving and dedicated service to others. The power of this lies in the fact that we are opening our channel to the positive outpourings of love from our core consciousness, the place of heaven. This outpouring has a remedial and healing influence on others and will raise consciousness for anyone coming in contact with us. If people understand the true power of loving service, our world will be transformed beyond recognition. It is compassion, empathy and love that carry an enormous amount of positive energy and are more valuable than all the material wealth in the world put together. Most of us provide a service via the work we do, but we can build on this service by adding our heartfelt love and devotion. If we provide our service not solely for the monetary reward, but in the spirit of love and dedication, this will be reflected in the quality of our afterlife and will make our work much more gratifying and enjoyable in the process. Any person providing a service can do this now and transform their lives. If there was an answer to life's problems, everybody would be following it. The best thing we can do is to use our thoughts, words and deeds in such a way that they serve others, and by so doing they serve the greater consciousness. Then we will begin to see changes happening in our lives. Once we adopt this attitude during our everyday working lives and see our involvement with the world in terms of providing a service rather than looking for compensation for a sacrifice, things become more joyful as we begin to be beneficiaries of the bliss of the higher dimensions. It then matters much less what role we occupy in providing our service. We already live in a society which is largely built on service provision, but only very few people realize this via their hearts and use the opportunity to generate bliss awareness. The great and beneficial power of service is largely underestimated in our society, which is often built on greed, selfish gain and in fostering an advantage over our fellow human beings, which will show up when the filters of our physical brains no longer function. On both sides of the divide, our service will invite pure higher energies that will manifest in the quality of our lives and others. Service is a powerful force, and sometimes it requires little more than a smile, a touch, a hug or a few generous words. And sometimes no more than silence. Traveling vistas of infinity, only when we drink from the river of silence shall we indeed sing. And when we have reached the mountain top, then we shall begin to climb. Khalil Gibran: all experience only happens in the present, now. Life is a continuum, and pinning our hope onto a distant future, believing that we will be mysteriously saved as a result of our beliefs, is an illusion, no matter how hard we wish to make it true. We can see the suffering and damage of wishful beliefs as demonstrated by fanatical groups who base their actions on a distorted interpretation of their religion. The idea that we will sail into heaven by default simply because we have had a life of struggle and hardship is an illusion too. Nature would not work if it was not based on reality, and our nature has to be reality-based too in order to function. The reality that is inside will be externalized for all to see when our life comes to an end. When I set off on my journey through consciousness more than 40 years ago, I was not aware that anything other than the physical world existed. My spiritual practice started when a friend suggested I try meditation to deal with stress and depression. Very soon I became fascinated by the history and origin of this ancient practice, and I embarked on a powerful inner quest to find the source of my very being. I have been steadfast in my quest. As a result, I have received the greatest blessings any human being could wish for. On the way, I have been handed many gifts that have become part of my path and have resulted in these reports. I have also discovered that the ancient texts, testifying that we are rooted in a state of unifying universal consciousness, are true, not an ideal beyond our reach, but a state that can actually be experienced in the here and now of our physical reality. When I first read about the testimonies of the great sages as a young man, I always thought they were the privilege of a selected elite of spiritual giants, and never imagined they could be experienced by ordinary people like myself. I was wrong, and when I experienced it, I found that it was more a matter of recall, remembering that we are already connected to the inner source. After I had total recall of it, it became permanently evidenced in my life, moment by moment, renewed every second without repeats. A profound stillness and presence formed every breath I take. An awakened and illuminated life is our natural blueprint as human beings and a state we are meant to inherit. Our fixation on the external world and our interpretation of it are no more than a dream. Reality is a state rooted in the stillness of being and exceeds all boundaries. All actions rising from the stillness are actions that enrich us and the world. Meditation allows us to wake up from our self-absorbed dreams, not only the dreams we chase during our waking life, but also from the dreams nature offers to us at night. We can become lucid within our dreams and begin to glimpse eternal and infinite vistas stretching out before us, knowing, no matter how far we walk, we will always just be at a new beginning and a new adventure. The most powerful aspect on our journey is being filled by the energy that creates all that exists on every level and dimension and in every universe that has ever existed or will exist. It is the aspect of love. It is love that reunites people after they have been separated by death. The closest we come to a person we may have lost is via love. The best way to heal after a loved one is lost, is to love. It is also the best and most effective way to reconnect with them after they have gone. Love is the shortcut into the higher realms of non-physical reality and the passport into the pleasant lands of the higher realms. As I get closer to the next leg of my journey, I can't even begin to imagine where it will take me, what other galaxies await me in the next dimension, let alone in the much loftier dimensions beyond. I know my journey has only just begun, and wherever I am, I know that I am only at the very beginning of an infinite journey. Perhaps, with every staging post, I will rise higher and higher, knowing that even the ecstasies so far were only a prelude. What do we know of what lies even beyond our true home? How do we know that what we consider to be God may not just be the entry level to an infinite realm of pure consciousness? How far does consciousness reach? Is there a point at which consciousness turns into God, or can the atheist and theist travel along the infinite road side by side, united in the experience that they are not separated at all? When we use language to talk about things beyond language, we create an abstraction of the experiences which quickly becomes a belief. The only option to us is the experience of it, where the words only serve as a vehicle to lead to the experience. If the experiences tells us about God, the fountainhead of love and creation, so be it. If it tells us about absolute clarity and light, the fountainhead of love and creation, so be it. There are mystery schools which teach that there are many more regions beyond what we have explored so far, with many more levels of consciousness which go further and deeper than this book can explore. I have always been reluctant to refer to the unspeakable as God, because I have always felt I was in no position to speak its name, because I feel the ultimate reality cannot be named, cannot be put into words, as it is unfathomable. I prefer to call it the unknown, the unknowable, the source, the singularity, because I suspect that, when I have climbed the mountain top, I may find I have only reached the foothills of a greater mountain yet to be climbed. In the meantime, I am a traveler of the cosmic lands, the vistas of infinity. I may walk in the shadows of the hills, shielded from the light of a glorious sun, and wait until it calls my name. Until then I am happy and grateful to be sustained by its presence and its stillness, knowing that every breath I take, moment by moment, is not my breath but the breath of its energy, and what I view around me are its infinite vistas. The end.